I'm going to introduce you to Kay Furman, who is a partner at Heidrick & Struggles and is going to be talking about leadership styles and new realities in today's CIO job market. Please join me in welcoming Kay Furman.
Thanks so much, Mary Fran. I'm so pleased to be with you all today and glad to meet those of you I haven't yet met. So for those of you who don't know Heidrick or haven't worked with us, you should, so be sure and give me your cards. But we have, as a purpose for our firm around the world, is to help our clients change the world one leadership team at a time. So in impacting that change and in affecting that change, helping our clients to do so, we help them think about not only who their next generation of leaders are for any particular role, but also how those leaders work together as a team and what combination will optimize that top team performance. In doing that, we have taken a look at, specifically within our IT officers practice, a number of the trends that we're seeing, and some of them have been referred to here today by multiple people throughout the day, in terms of what the role of the CIO looks like, what it as opposed to what it previously looked like, and what the future holds relative to the role and the expectations for the role. Of course, you know, a lot of this is reinforcement of things we've discussed, but the history of the CIO really serving as a deep technologist who has spent a long career coming up directly through the technology organization and staying focused in that one tower isn't necessarily the current profile of what CEOs and leadership teams are seeking in the current state of the CIO. It's certainly a technical leader, but one who has great context across the business and may have had a mix of experiences in consulting, in operations, and really has taken an active role to build relationships with the business and create business partnerships through business partnering roles internally. And looking forward, we've talked a lot today about what that future state may look like, helping to broaden the experience of those leading the technology organization to really drive innovation by being much closer and integrated into the overall business of the company to drive value. So hiring and transitions in the role of the CIO has been focused on advancing along this continuum in terms of skill sets and in terms of competencies. When we look at, got to point it to the right thing, not the screen. When we look at some of the macro trends, cybersecurity obviously is top of the list. We heard that from our colleagues at CSC earlier. Mobility, data analytics, the Internet of Things, all topics that we have as buzzwords floating around this room and every room in companies across the country and around the world. We look forward to the elements of that next generation of IT leadership and really focusing on the CIO plus, really having the broader responsibilities for having accountability for functions and competencies and aspects of the company's operations that extend beyond the information technology focus. Also, CIOs sitting on boards. This is a real trend for the future. We're seeing it much more as time goes on. Previously, most board members, the vast majority of board profiles for public and private boards were first, a sitting CEO, second, a retired CEO, third, a sitting CFO, second, a recently retired CFO, and then that's 95%, 5% of everything else. That has really shifted. It's really beginning to shift in such a way that all of you become potential candidates for board seats, given the emphasis on all of these topics in the boardroom discussions that are happening today. You all find it in your presentations to your boards around cybersecurity and talking about predictive analytics and other topics that impact each of your businesses. That is leading to a heavier emphasis of CIO involvement at the board level. So those are some of the trends that we're seeing in the market nationally, globally. Here in Houston, we've talked about it here today, that given the emphasis and the predominance of oil and gas here in town, along with healthcare, that it's been a tougher market and not quite as much activity as we may have seen a couple of years back. But what we are seeing is when a change does take place, it's preempted and it's positioned by a need for a change inside the business, whether that to this point has been driven by a specific change in platform, a change in business model, a merger or acquisition, something that has absolutely driven a specific decision to make a change in the role. As time goes on, those who have developed the capabilities around innovation, which we talked about earlier, as well as developing teams that can support that model, will be a part of the future folks that step into these new roles. How do we really, as we're thinking about those trends, a lot of those things don't have to do with the things that you might put on your resume in terms of your specific experiences in either working with a specific set of platforms or leading a specific size of a budget or operating in a global market. It's more about how you lead people. It's the future trends and the future assessment of who becomes the next CIO for a dynamic organization has more to do with how you lead. How can companies really assess that? How do they determine if your leadership style is the leadership style that is needed by the organization for the changes that they're intending to make as time goes on? Through the work we do, we meet, of course, many talented executives all over the world and are pleased to know all of these folks, but in order to provide additional context, we developed a tool that is an executive assessment tool that is utilized as a part of a process, either a search process or an evaluation of a team performance to help improve the interaction of a team, that really looks at how people lead, how they show up, and the style that might apply in terms of how they interact with others, peers, subordinates, superiors. So it's a proprietary tool, 36 item online questionnaire. It's really quite straightforward and not time consuming. The output of it assesses 8 behavioral patterns. Mary Fran referenced those, and we'll talk more about them. And the output is really to offer a picture of a particular leader's their predominance of the leadership style that they tend to apply in most situations. We all can flex our style. Some are better than others at doing that in any particular situation, but this really starts to highlight the style that you lean towards. And then think about that in the context of how that style interacts with other styles that may be a part of the leadership team on which you serve. It's really looking at and evaluating, in the HR world where the term VUCA is used quite a lot around volatility, uncertainty, complexity, ambiguity, and a leader's ability to operate within that context and how effectively or what their style is in leading in a situation of volatility or uncertainty, which we're all facing each and every day and more frequently than ever. So the output of this is to start to look at that. So at the as a part of this session, and as Mary Fran referenced, there was an article in the Harvard Business Review where there's a link, so each of you can take this and get your feedback and report that'll provide you context around your own style tendencies. and be able to spend some time. We'd be happy to talk it through and give you some context around it. But through the work we've done with thousands of executives all around the world, with this tool, we have pulled together some data that takes a subset of the results that were completed by IT officers and CIOs that indicated that that was their profession and the focus of their work. And we've got some statistical trends. Now, it's not statistically significant because it's a small subset. It's about 100. But we're going to look at some of the trends. This is just a snapshot of what the online survey looks, how the online survey looks, and so an easy tool to utilize. And obviously, like most of these tools, there's no right answer, and you can't game the system to try and figure out what it's really trying to ask. You should just be direct and you know, go with what seems the most appropriate. The output report, also pretty straightforward, gives you a view of the summary and an overview of the styles types that are predominant and those that are lower. It's not to say that they aren't displayed, but it starts to show you what you lean towards, how you tend to operate. And companies looking at executives evaluate this, we most often look at the top two and the bottom two, and those in the middle tend to be less clear or apparent. But you look at the top two and the bottom two to determine sort of how someone would tend to operate and the contrast of that to how they would be least likely to operate, and then look at the potential impacts of that, the higher impact areas, the areas where there may be challenges, and that's important, of course, for any specific leader that you may hire or may be a part of your team, but it's also very important in the context of how that set of styles may operate with others on the team. Here are the styles. Now, this is a lot of data, and of course, you'll have access to all of this through the link to the presentations that Mary Fran referenced earlier. But the eight styles, collaborator, composer, energizer, forecaster, harmonizer, pilot, producer, provider. It starts to talk about what are the core attributes or characteristics that are displayed by leaders who tend to or have a emphasis on one particular style. So the two examples Mary Fran referenced, a collaborator, very focused on team building, very focused on creating a sense of team amongst the group. Empathy attracts talent. What are the areas of heightened awareness? Because of the team building focus and the commitment to team building, that may create an environment where a leader who is a clearly dominant collaborator may not push for organizational visibility, may not be as strong in addressing conflict or in setting clear direction because this is someone who relies on the power of the group. These individuals tend to often promote the careers of others on their teams ahead of their own, so at the expense of their own. So that's not to say that that's a bad thing, but it is just something to acknowledge and be aware of. Forecaster, that Mary Fran also referenced in the introduction, depth of experience and breadth of knowledge, anticipatory conceptual thinking. Forecasters tend to be subject matter experts. They rely upon the subject matter expertise to drive their decision making and to drive their influence of others. Because they rely upon so heavily on their subject matter expertise, they're knowledge-based, they're intellectually based, that makes it oftentimes a bit more difficult for leaders who tend toward this style to flex or adjust their perspective based on the input from others. And they also tend to, because they have a very strong point of view based on their intellect, based on their subject matter expertise, around translating that vision for others. Because it makes perfect sense to them. I often make a joke that I am so good at selling myself on my own ideas. And it's true, because if, you know, I convince myself that this is a great idea, and of course everybody else must just agree with that. Well, that's a trait that forecasters often have. The paradox may need to be encouraged to act on their great ideas with more pace, and keep that process moving. So each of these styles has a core characteristic in terms of what they tend to look like and areas of heightened awareness. Well, if you reflect back to the report that we had, you see, we all demonstrate all of these styles. It's just relative strength or lesser strength of each one of them. So let's look at some of the information we got in our sample demographics. So we took sample size of close to 100. 100, again, executives who submitted their inputs to this with a indication that they were an IT officer in a CIO or a C-suite role in the IT area. Predominance of a heavy majority were male, and a much lesser proportion of female. Largest majority, between the ages of 40 and 49, and the next largest group, 50 to 59, which you would expect as folks are moving up through their careers, so that's not as much of a surprise. Leading larger teams, 50 plus people, smaller teams is a much smaller percentage, but relatively large groups, diverse experience across industries are represented in this group. Large companies, most were large companies, primarily U.S.-based in this set of data, and ethnic diversity across the group. So as we looked at this group and this set of data, we got some interesting output. So again, all IT officers, all at the C-level, operating at the C-suite level, this was the distribution of the style types for that data. Well, you can see there are only 7 style types there. Harmonizer got 0% in this subset. There weren't any harmonizers in this group. The number one group, obviously, by the most significant population is the forecaster. So think back to what we talked about and when we were talking about the forecaster style. Strong subject matter expertise. Sound familiar? Very strong point of view, of course. Relies upon that subject matter expert. The facts, the data, the information, the expertise around the subject matter, because it's not something that everyone in the organization has. They rely upon that. Tend to rely upon that data to drive influence, and may not gain, because of that, emotional buy-in when decisions are made, because it's based on facts and intellect, and there's not that sort of emotional connection around the team or around the topic. It's fact-based. So the vast majority of the IT officers that we had this data around were forecasters. Second largest group was the pilots. If we look back to the pilot type, the pilots, again, strong, clear point of view, strategic, create a vision, create key actions that drive results. So a very methodical yet strategic point of view, appreciates the opportunity to drive change, but is less likely to rely upon what had always been done before, which I personally think is a great is a great sign that a group of IT executives are not saying, this is the way we've always done it, so this is the way we're going to continue to do it, where many parts of the business may still operate that way. So the top two were forecaster, then pilot. If we look at the bottom two, harmonizer, non-existent, and composer. So as we look back at that, harmonizer is very much focused on making sure everybody's happy, right? Everybody buys in, gaining emotional buy-in to decision-making, which we just talked about on forecaster is the opposite, right? Not as open to change, not as motivated to drive change, not as comfortable with ambiguity. So you live and work and lead teams and organizations in a industry, in a space, in a function that is constantly changing faster than virtually anything else that our businesses are facing. And that is the technology that supports it. So it's not a particular surprise that harmonizing is not the most successful way that CIOs at the C-level and SVP level in organizations would not likely operate this way. Composer was the other category that was low, right? 1%. Composer, creative, problem-solving, decisive, self-reliant. That description and those competencies and characteristics were less apparent in the population that we looked at here. Again, back to areas of heightened awareness on that one is establishing relationships and communication. So it's, again, not to say that any of these attributes and styles isn't present in all of us, but it is to say that what we have found is that there's a distribution in this sample of IT executives across these styles, but a particular style tends to stand out, and that's the forecaster pilot. So it will be interesting for us to, as each of you participate in this and perhaps take a look at your results through the leadership signature tool, to get your thoughts on the output and how that relates to how you view yourself. Perhaps you'll learn something new about how you may operate that you weren't aware of. I think we all will. So that was the content I wanted to cover. In the last few minutes we have together, I'd be happy to answer any questions if you had some.
I had a question as I was looking at the list. You had one that showed that
providers and producers that's what boards and CEOs are looking for. Do CEOs come out more as producers and providers? Is that the way they map to a tool like this?
That's a great question, and I don't necessarily have a broad-based view on that. I should have come prepared with that answer, but that's a great question. So let's look at it. I would think that my inclination would be that a producer tends to be execution focused. And yep. So I would not necessarily expect a CEO to fall into that specific category, given the linear thinking and the structure and loyal to tradition.
Yep.
A successful CEO would certainly be much more visionary and interested in driving a strategic vision aligned with perhaps more of a pilot type profile, given the emphasis on looking to the future. And so I would be surprised if it was heavily producer-oriented. Yeah. Provider orientation tends to be really very much driven on caring for others, mm-hmm. in supporting and providing a strong position for others. So I would certainly expect an element of that in each mm-hmm. CEO's competency, but I would think they would probably be driven by yeah. one of the other styles yeah. more likely.
It did make me feel a little bad for the harmonizers. I'll bet when you look at most C-suites, there's not a lot of harmonization
yes.
going on. Are there other questions for Kay? Yep. Hang on. We've got a microphone coming to you. And how much more time have we got?
Thank
you. We have 5 minutes.
Yeah. Kay, two questions. Thank you very much for sharing this. Very, very insightful. And thank you for letting us do it. Go to the link and do it. And I will do it.
Yes.
So the question is, I assume when the organization goes through transformation, different types of leadership style may work better than the others.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
yes.
something you all
yes.
find?
And yeah. we often find when an organization is preparing for a transformation, they look to introduce a particular style of leadership mm-hmm. into the organization or the top team that is either underrepresented mm. or they believe that they need a stronger emphasis around.
Okay.
So in that case, we would, when in partnering with a company around a situation like that, each member of the top leadership team would take this, mm-hmm. would go through this process, and then we would look at the relative alignment of the representation of types. Again, not to say that this is a full determinant, but it helps to reflect how those individuals will complement or create friction within that top team.
Thank you.
Interesting. Okay, we'll take one more question. I think that's Niraj. Yes, it is. All right, good.
Thanks for sharing this. My question is a two-part question. The first part is, the tenure of CIOs are usually not long. At least that's what the industry says.
Industry average is now up to 5 years, according to our research.
It's certainly going in the right direction. That's
yeah.
a good thing. Why is this phenomena more prevalent in any other but CIO roles? And second scenario is, how do you see, you talked about the future role of CIOs, why is it CIO plus? I mean, just give your thoughts, because we don't see CFO plus or chief marketing plus. I mean, their plus is more covering the territory which CIO used to cover,
right.
analytics and other scenarios as well. Just wanted to see what
yeah,
your thoughts.
Yeah, great questions. Both great questions. First, on the tenure question, I think, in our experience, when a company looks to make a transition and make a change in the CIO role, it is because, as a business, strategically and in terms of their plans for the upcoming 3 to 5 to 7 years, they have a very specific set of initiatives that they can tie back to technology, either a cost-focused priority that might lead to a gap in their commercial partnering skills to really think about a strategic sourcing model that includes an insourced or outsourced model. So a business model shift, or a core system ERP transition. Today, it's very, oftentimes, it's very explicit, a very, very clear tactical drivers that support that strategic direction that the leadership team identifies as the reason for the change. And so the CIO that brought them through the phase that led up to that point of change may not have had the experience for the future set of objectives. So why has that not happened in other parts of the business? And I would say that each area, each function is going to be different. We work across all functions. Most often, it's because there's not the pace of change in the underlying sort of tool set that's utilized by that department or group or function. So internal auditors don't have the pace of change that technology faces in terms of the tool set that they use to perform the activities that they perform. They may access different systems that you implement for them, but the work that they do doesn't change at the pace that occurs in the technology area right now. So that is what we have experienced in talking with companies. The second question you asked me, I was focused on the first question about tenure.
I think you answered them both, because I was thinking that the CIO Plus does come from all the enormous change.
Yeah.
And I mean, how much has happened to change spreadsheets over the years? I mean, CFOs, right? This is what they do. They do spreadsheets.
There's not been as much change. The reason the CIO Plus and not the CFO Plus and not the CMO Plus as often is because the CFO is, by the very nature of their role, sort of at the table in the strategic discussion, mm-hmm. as is the other sort of the general counsel, particularly in a highly regulated business, the head of HR, because talent drives everything that's happening in the organization and the talent strategy. Those things are traditionally core to how the business evolves and accomplishes what it does every day and always has. Mm. Technology, we're all trying to make sure we have a voice at that table, and that technology is a core and important and valued part of the strategic process for the business going forward. In order to continue to increase visibility beyond the technology for technology's sake element of it, participating in those more traditional sort of core business functions that have had a heritage of being in the strategic discussion enables the CIO to elevate visibility and increase participation at the table. So I don't say that to CFOs, because mm-hmm. they're already there and they like it that way. Yeah. And so
they like still being the bosses of about, what, 50 or 60% of CIOs are still nationwide reporting to CFOs. Kay, thank you. This has been fascinating.
Thank you very much.
Round of applause, please, for Kay.